Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming with power and love to reign. What if it were today? Signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks on the eastern sky. Watch. For the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? I remember the first time I heard this song as a young child. I remember my excitement going home and going to bed, knowing that before I woke up in the morning, Jesus would come. Now, it's a long time since then. But there's been joy in the journey. Joy in the journey. I'll expand on that theme, joy in the journey, in a minute, but first, a story. I can still hear her voice. "But boys," she said, "you have to go to school." Now, picture the scene. We had just moved to a house in the country. The house was surrounded by woods. Heaven to a 7-year-old boy. Lizards to chase, butterflies to catch, wild cherries to pick another fruit, and all kinds of opportunities that could keep a 7-year-old boy fascinated for hours. So since I didn't like school anyway, I walked in the kitchen and announced to my mother that I had learned everything I needed to know, and I was not going back to school. Needless to say, she sat me down in her own gentle way, and my mother had her own gentle way. In fact, among us kids, the standard joke was, if you sit down and had a session with my mother, you went through what we called early culture and training. So in my early culture and training session with my mother that day, she convinced me that God had a purpose for my life, and if to fulfill that purpose, I had to go to school. I needed an education. So it was on that fateful day, during that conversation with my mother, I decided to become a doctor. You see, 2 years earlier, I almost died of congestive heart failure. For about 3 months, my life was in the balance. I always remembered Dr. Bergenfeld. He saved my life, he helped me get better, and I wanted to grow up and be like him. Little did I realize when I made that decision that day what a difficult road lay ahead of me. And little did I know what hardships and trials, blood, toil, sweat, and tears, I would have to endure. 20 grueling years later, I walked down the aisle, cap and gown, but I look back on it now and have come to realize there was joy in the journey. Just about now you may be wondering, but Dr. B, what has that to do with the Festival of Trumpets and Jesus coming back to earth? Well, in a spiritual sense, we all went through a similar experience. There are lessons we can learn as we journey to the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. And I thought today would be a good day to review those things. First, regardless of our background, until God called us and gave us our early culture and training and opened our minds to the grand purpose he has for our lives and the need to get a solid education from his word, we were going through life blithely thinking we knew everything we needed to know. Second, just as a 7-year-old boy who was easily distracted by things that seemed fascinating but offered no real value, just so before our conversion, we were distracted by things that seemed fascinating but offered no real value. I had no time for school. We had no time for the true God. Just as on that fateful day in my life, my mother sat me down and instilled in me the vital value God had in me and the fact that he had a purpose for my life, there is a fateful day in each of our lives when God called us, sat us down, so to speak, and instilled in us the supreme value he has placed on us and the stupendous purpose he has for our lives. We found out about the Festival of Trumpets, and that on one such day, his son, Jesus Christ, will return to earth. Like Abraham and those listed in Hebrews 11, we got the vision of his kingdom and the role he wanted us to play in it. Then we signed on for kingdom school, you know, kings and priests, not realizing the blood, toil, tears, and sweat that we would go through. I remember in the early 80s, I used to wonder, what's the point of saving for my children's college education? Jesus is coming soon, long before they would need it. Today, my children have children in college. Anyone can identify with that? So as we look around the room, many who celebrated the Feast of Trumpets with us in the past aren't here. The years have gone by. They have died in faith, not having received the promise. When we made our commitment to get this true education, again, like I said, little did we realize the blood, toil, sweat, and tears that lay ahead. Do we sometimes wonder, where is the promise of his coming? Let's look at 2 Peter 3:4. Because he said that that's going to be a question in these days. Where is the promise of his coming? Verse 4, breaking into a thought and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is the promise of his coming? Do we sometimes wonder about that? Today, I want to share with you three things you must do, so that is not a question of yours. It's not. I want today for us to ensure, as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, that there is joy in our journey. So the first thing, have a clear vision of God's kingdom and ask God to give us a clear understanding, ask God to give you a clear understanding of your specific role in that kingdom. Keep that vision of God's kingdom and its grand introduction by the return of Jesus Christ always before you. God gives us a specific command to do just that, and we find that in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Second, strive to learn a kingdom-centered lesson from every experience that comes in your life, good or bad. Let's look at Philippians 4:11 and see how it helps us to understand that concept. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. And we'll be content when we stop, reflect, what kingdom lesson can I learn from this experience? What kingdom-centered lesson can I learn from this experience? Third, strive for excellence. Strive to be the best that you can be. It has been said that the best thing you can do for God, the world, and for each other is to make the most of yourself, make the best of yourself. And 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 will help us understand that. a little better. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. Strive for excellence. Now you may be saying to yourself, all that sounds interesting, Dr. B, but how can I make that practical in my life? Let's quickly review one Bible example to illustrate that this is practical and that there truly can be joy in the journey. Then I'll give you three simple steps to do that so that we will ensure that there's joy in our journey. Now, the Bible doesn't go into all the details, so play with me a little bit, and I'll fill them in. Joseph's family had just moved to a new house in the country, and it was different from where he usually lived, and there were things for 7 years. He might have been about 7 years at the time. So he came in and told his mother, you know, this reading, writing, and arithmetic thing that you've been doing with me, I know everything I need to know. We don't need to do that anymore. Lizards to catch, butterflies to, things to do. And she probably sat him down, and she probably had a way of talking to him, early culture and training. And so she's instilled in him, helped him understand that God has a purpose for your life. You have to grow up to be a governor. That night, God gave him a dream, and you know, the sun, moon, 11 stars, the sheaves, bow down to him. And Joseph decided, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to be a governor. I'm going to go to governor school. But little did he realize when he made that decision, the blood, toil, sweat, and tears that lay ahead of him. His brothers hated him. At age 17, he was sold as a slave. At age 28, he was thrown into jail. And you thought you had problems. Here's what was happening to him. Let's turn to Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4. What was happening to him in the meantime? And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all, and he made his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. So just as we are going through our journey, keep that thought in mind. The Lord is with us. He has promised to bless us. He has promised to take care of us. He has promised to provide for us, because that's what pulled Joseph through, his blood, toil, sweat, and tears. He became an earthly governor at age 30 and died at age 110 without the real prize, governor in the kingdom of God, a.k.a. king and priest. Obviously, Joseph put God and his kingdom first, kept that uppermost in his mind. Joseph, like Paul, learned to be content regardless of the experiences in his life. Joseph, like Christ, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. When Paul signed up for kingdom school to become a king and priest, little did he realize the blood, toil, sweat, and tears he would have to endure. He wrote about them in 2 Corinthians 11:23-27. We won't go there, but in persecutions, in all the troubles he talked about. But he came to a conclusion. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4 and read verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. And see the conclusion that Paul came to. I have fought a good fight, he said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. So, how can we make this practical in our lives? How can you ensure that there is joy in your journey? When a learning or growing opportunity, aka trial, tribulation, comes up in your life, say and mean what you say, like Joseph, God is working this out for good. Because that's what he told his brothers in Genesis 20:50. You did this for evil, but God is working it out for good. So obviously that was uppermost in his mind as he went through his governor's school. So God is working it out for a purpose, and I need to glorify him in how I respond. Then ask, how does this relate to my journey to trumpets and to the kingdom of God? Second, what biblical example can I turn to that will help me learn the lesson or the lessons from this experience? And third, in my desire for excellence, how can I look at this situation differently that gives me added insight and better understanding? Paul summed it up at the end of his life. Let us sum it up at the end of every day. I have fought a good fight today. I have finished my course for the day. I have kept the faith. So, if we die, or we remain alive to the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and be caught up in the air to meet him, which is what this day pictures, we will be ready and we'll know there's joy in our journey.